Last time, my HVAC system had a big pile of mold growing in it. Here's the air scrubber.
What company is it? What brand?
So this is Air Scrubber by Aerus, AERUS. And it's the same company that makes the technology that Monica was talking about, which is marketed with the brand name Volara, which is more standalone units. So this is the same technology that Monica was talking about. And Monica, when she was talking about it, maybe I can reverse my screen. I think that's an option.
I actually just got a new one. Yet I got two new ones yesterday from the Schumacher website, for that are supposed to be able to filter mycotoxins. And so far, the IntelliPure, it seems to do really well. It doesn't have any sensors on it, but when I got the Blue Air, it has a PM1 sensor, which is
Wait a minute, who's talking?
Lisa. Sorry.
Oh,
Hi,
didn't
Lisa.
sound like you.
Hi, Lisa, can you talk louder? Oh, wait, I just turned my volume up.
Yeah, so I got the IntelliPure, and that one I really like. It seems to do really well at filtering the mycotoxins. And I checked it using the other one, and when I had it off, my PM1 shoots up, and I turned it on, and it went right back down. And I need
What's the PM1?
particulates. I got one that
Oh.
matter, because most of them only go down to 2.5, and the mycotoxins are so tiny it doesn't see them. But I got new ones from the Schumacher website that just came yesterday. So, but the IntelliPure one, I was really impressed. I started to feel better like almost immediately, and it seems to do a really good job of filtering like down to the micron, point. It's supposed to filter down to 0.003.
Instead of 0.03, which is HEPA, right? HEPA
It's
is point oh
better
three.
than, no, this one's better than HEPA, true
That's what I'm
HEPA.
saying. HEPA is 0.03 and this is 0.003, correct?
Yeah, it's better than
Yeah.
MERV 15. It's, I think, I don't know what to call the technology, but yeah.
It expensive?
It was 195.
That's not bad.
No.
Okay, I want to get back to my air scrubber because it's completely different.
Yes.
And
Okay.
it's doing a completely different thing. It's not filtering. And when Monica talked about it, I was just really blown away by her claims. And one of the things she said was, I just thought, how can that possibly be true? So it stuck in my mind. One of the things that Monica said was that this technology would penetrate the moldy surfaces in her house and get rid of the mold that's growing in the walls. And I just thought, well, that's just crazy. But I wanted to know about it because I love crazy claims. And so I was reading up on her technology, and what it is there's a catalytic converter in the air scrubber or in the Volara technology that she was talking about, which is made by the same company. And what it does is it takes the moisture in your air and it turns it into hydrogen peroxide. And what we know about hydrogen peroxide is that it kills everything, right? So if you want to disinfect the wound, you can use hydrogen peroxide. If you want your body to disinfect the wound, you can put honey on it. And honey has enzymes in it that create hydrogen peroxide on exposure to moisture. So with the honey, you can create hydrogen peroxide in your wound and kill everything except for your own cells. So this hydrogen peroxide thing, yeah, is,
Does it smell like hydrogen peroxide?
well, I don't smell anything. And apparently it's not a very high concentration of hydrogen peroxide. So I don't smell anything, and which is kind of nice because since I bought my house 11 years ago, it's always smelled musty to me. And that was like in the house. I've had my vents cleaned out, professional, vent cleaning stuff. And I'm a terrible housekeeper, but the house already smelled musty before I moved in. So it wasn't just my terrible housekeeping doing it. So the HVAC system is only 3 years old. So the musty smell predates my HVAC system being installed. Okay. And then the mold that my HVAC guy found was in the HVAC system. There was a big pile of it. And he cleaned it out and then he put in the air scrubber. He didn't know about the technology. So it wasn't like he was really trying to sell this thing to me. He just said, this is what we have available. But when I looked, I said, let me see the box. So when I looked at the box, because I had been researching what Monica had put us up to, Valera, and I almost bought a standalone unit, but I didn't. You know, I just had to do something else. And that was the day before the HVAC guy came. So the HVAC guy came and he showed me this box, and I looked up the Aeris covered by Aeris, AERUS, and I saw it was the same technology produced by the same company that Monica was talking about. And so I was pretty excited. I said, oh, I'm really interested in this. And yeah, put it in. And then I turned the fan in my HVAC unit to continue its on. And, you know, the next day, the musty smell from my house that had been there for, you know, the whole time was gone. Now, since I was raised in moldy houses and I'm allergic to mold, you know, I'm like a human biosensor for mold. Like, other people don't smell mold when I do. So I might just be more sensitive to it than other people, but you know, the mold, the musty smell from my house was gone, and it's still gone. And, you know, when I get up in the morning, normally I'm pulling out the essential oils, and sometimes I have to go for the inhaler so I can breathe better, try to avoid the inhaler, you know, by using the essential oils. And I would just, you know, be outside of my house as much as I could be. And now none of that is going on. So, you know, I haven't felt like I needed the inhaler. Not perfect, you know, the lungs aren't perfect. There's mold outside, but huge improvement, and there's no musty smell in the house, which means the crazy claim that Monica made, that the Monica's crazy claim that this technology of pumping hydrogen peroxide out into your air throughout your whole house would treat the mold in the surfaces of your house. I would say that this is evidence that that is what is happening. So, and since then, I was reading a Substack, someone put a comment and said that she always has an air scrubber working in her house. She said the good air and the good sleep are the two most important factors in health. So I'm pretty much sold on this hydrogen peroxide technology. Here's my air scrubber. That's my story.
So how do you feel since it's been put in? Do you feel better?
Yeah, since I had it put in, my normal morning routine of getting out the essential oils, because, you know, I don't breathe very well. I have asthma. So usually I would get out the essential oils to try to minimize those symptoms and try to avoid using the inhaler. But since I've had the air scrubber put in, I haven't had to do that because my breathing is pretty much clear all the time. In addition to the musty smell being gone. Yeah.
Can I ask how much it was?
And it's like, I think the unit was like $750, but installed it was $1,500 because, you know, he had to cut a hole in the side of my air handling unit and stick it in there and then seal up the hole and then do the wiring. So I would say this might be my happiest $1,500 investment in my health. Wow.
So you can't just, that's the difference between a standalone. You have to install it.
The company that Monica was talking about, Valera, they sell standalone units. And they sell different size standalone units. So you can get a big one or a little one. You can get one for your car, which I'm thinking about getting. Yeah. I love my HVAC one because it just, you know, the fan pumps it throughout your house. But there are standalone units, and the company Monica works with does sell those. And I would get those.
And you got yours through the HVAC guy?
Yeah, the HVAC guy, that happens to be what they sell with the company.
Yeah, I've been looking on Amazon and they're not selling it. So it must be through a distributor only.
I believe that would be the case. Yeah. So Monica gave us links to her company. You could get one that way. Or you could look up the technology, Aeris. I was looking at it, yeah.
Her phone number on the box.
Oh, phone number on the box.
Grab the box again as soon as you put it down.
Let me see. Was there a phone number on the front?
I know Monica's company was doing a sale around Christmas time for $500. I don't know if they're still doing that or they're going to do it again. But I think that was 50% off.
Wow. Wow. I'm not seeing a phone number on the box. There's a barcode.
What's the address of the company?
Let's see. The address of the company. I'm not seeing that on the box. I see a patent number.
You didn't get instructions or an insert or anything?
Let's see. See what's in the box. Oh, wait, there's something in the bottom of the box. I always save my boxes.
I do too. For at least a year, whatever the warranty is. Yeah.
Here's a whole big user guide.
Oh, there you go.
Here's the phone number on the back. It's backwards if you want me to read it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's not backwards.
Can you read it to me anyway, since I'm... Thanks, Liz. This was it's a great success story.
I'm happy with it. Oh, the other thing that comes with this unit is it has a UV light. Has a UV light, so that'll kill anything that's growing inside the unit. But that seems kind of, it might make the cost a little higher than if it didn't. But
What's the material of the unit? Is it plastic or metal?
let's see. Well, the converter, here's a picture of it. I can't really look at it because it's inside my air handling
Oh,
unit now.
right.
But I can look through this and try to figure out what the thing is made out of.
The converter is titanium,
Ah, thank you, Connie.
right?
Yeah,
But I
right.
don't know what the housing is, you know. It looks like it's a metal duct, doesn't it? That would insert inside your...
Right. This is the part that fits against the hole in the air handling unit. And
Okay.
this part is the part with the titanium converter
Okay. And so
inside.
that's probably metal, and then the housing that fits it's probably plastic, right? Because
There isn't
everything
any
is.
housing. This is
Well,
the whole
no,
thing.
this thing that fits on the surface,
Oh, you mean this thing
that
here?
part is
Yeah, that's
probably
metal.
plastic,
Here you
but
go. Check.
that's not go it's metal.
Yeah, everything on the outside is metal.
Oh, it's all metal.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
And then Monica's was plastic.
This is all metal. And it's on the, this is the part that's outside of the air handling unit.
Yeah.
And it fits up against the hole he made in the air handling unit.
What is
And then
this?
this, the converter part, is the part that's inside the air handling unit. That has, there's UV light in there too.
Well, if I remember, the technology is that the UV light shines on the titanium, and that acts as a catalyst to create the hydrogen peroxide, right?
Oh, okay. I don't really
That's
know.
that is the
I
technology.
think that the UV light, they also sell a UV light separately. And I know the UV light will kill viruses and germs independently. So,
But only as it passes through. It doesn't come out and...
right. It doesn't help you once. Yeah.
So does the peroxide, it goes in the air, will it kill viruses and bacteria?
Yes, that's the whole
Yeah.
idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your whole house.
Oh, great.
It just gets pumped out through your whole house. And the thing Monica said about killing mold on your surfaces that struck me as like so outlandish is, to me that's believable if you're putting hydrogen peroxide out through your entire air supply and it contacts all these surfaces. I don't know how deep it goes, but surfaces, yeah, I believe it could penetrate surfaces.
If you're not smelling any mold, that's the main thing.
Yeah, that's amazing. I smell mold everywhere, but now I don't smell it in my house,
Wow.
even though I'm the worst housekeeper in the world, still.
I don't know. I'm going to challenge you with that.
Yeah,
But
I'm going to challenge you as well.
listen, how long ago was it that you moved into the house?
11 years I've been in the house.
Okay, so for 11 years, it had this musty smell.
To me, it has a musty, had a musty smell, right? And it
Okay.
wasn't the air handling unit because that's only 3 years old.
Right.
Right.
I just
Yeah.
wanted to get it straight in the notes. Yeah,
Yeah.
thanks.
Do you have other locations like around the world or?
No, not that I know of.
So that's the main headquarters?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got a headquarters out in Dallas, Texas, but
Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Nancy, I'm going to mute you. Okay. Next, Lisa, why don't we go to your, because it's related, your story of how you recently, is this recently you got the air scrubber?
Yeah, so my success story previously is that I have recovered from Lyme and mold illness, and I have had a lovely 5 years or so being in the clear and healthy, and I got a little bit lax, and I was not paying enough attention, and a whole bunch of things happened, and I'm having trouble isolating the problem now. So I had, my mom had given me couches and a bookshelf and things from her house, which were all moldy, and I have recently got rid of those. I had a wax seal break on the toilet, and I shut the toilet off, but the shutoff valve didn't work, and I did not know that. So the thing was still leaking in the ceiling, and I had a plumber come out. I had the toilet replaced. I had the whole ceiling underneath ripped out and replaced. Then I had an HVAC leak. I had those walls ripped out and replaced, and the guy that did the mold remediation it was kind of unbelievable how bad this was. Essentially, he had been reusing equipment between jobs. So he brought dirty blowers and whatnot to my house. And he sprayed all four sides of my house with ungodly, different colors of mold and stuff. So, and also he fogged the house, but he did not come back in HEPA back after he fogged. So I returned to the house. It was covered in a layer of sticky dust coated in mycotoxins. And the outside, I had it rained about 2 days later, and my whole side of my house turned green. So currently I'm dealing with that. And I thought I was at the end of this. I was I decontaminated everything after the guy had left. I had professional cleaners come. I threw away everything I owned, all the upholstered stuff, all the clothing. And I'm still at the point where I'm not able to do laundry. I think I needed multiple stages of laundry. Essentially, when I had this problem previously, it washed out and I was able to rewear the clothes, but this time they're loaded with something that does not launder out in the regular wash, and I can't bleach everything because I'm on septic. So, yeah. And so I just got the new purifier yesterday from the Schumacher protocol, and the IntelliPure one I really like. It was $195. It's like a compact one. It does gases, odors, and all sorts of mold and bacteria. And I think yesterday was the first time in 2 months that my brain fog lifted completely since I've been running it. So I'm pretty happy with it. And I've had it on all night. And I got more done in the one day of clear thinking than I had in the whole previous month. So yeah, I'm pretty pleased with it. And I got a second one, which is a Blue Air, and it has... it was cheaper and it has sensors and it's supposed to do more, but I actually found it doesn't filter as well. So I'm less convinced of that one, but the IntelliPure one I like, and I have another one that's supposed to be coming. I don't have central air. The HVAC leaked and it was a heat pump system. So I didn't have any ductwork. I just have the wall units. But since it leaked, I turned it off at the breaker. So I have no central, heating at the moment. I just have electric space heaters. And I'm just religiously cleaning the filters on them every day. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
So I'm just trying to get all this down.
And I have environmental specialists coming. So right now the situation is, I thought I was almost done with this. I decontaminated the whole house. And then my boyfriend was helping me hook the laundry back up. We changed out the laundry hoses for steel ones to prevent future leaks and what have you at the plumber's recommendation. And he forgot to put the drain hose from the washer back into the drain. And so the first load of wash we did drained onto my bathroom floor, and it was full of moldy spores because it was dirty laundry. And now I'm having problems that I can't see. And then I'm either having a foundation problem behind my bathroom wall, or the leak from the laundry. I was up all night with a shop vac, a wet dry vac, trying to dry it out. But maybe I didn't do as good as I had hoped. I'm not sure where exactly the problem is now. It's something to do with that downstairs bathroom. So it's either the laundry flood or the foundation wall. I think in either case, I have to have all the walls removed down there. It's Yeah, there's masonry and then drywall in front. And I'm guessing all the drywall and the insulation and stuff is probably ruined. But I have an environmental specialist coming tomorrow. I have a plumber coming this afternoon. I have a structural engineer coming Wednesday. As I don't know what the problem is, I'm just trying to rule it out. So I figure I can have the plumber come today, just assure me that there are no leaks anywhere in the system, and then I can rule out plumbing. And then the environmental people will come. Maybe it's just like the stuff I had from my mom's, like it might be in the air and I'm just getting more and more sensitive to it. And then if that fails, the structural engineer hopefully can address if it's a foundation wall. So yeah, I'm just like guessing right now. And I saw some mold on the in the downstairs. Like I had ripped out a carpet down there and I found like a damp spot on the backside of the baseboard and there was mold under that. And so, but I don't know where it's coming from. And that wall is both my foundation wall and the wall all the plumbing runs in. So I'm hoping that's going to be the end of it though. And I've been talking to my boyfriend about like, well, I haven't been working. I have been really out of it. Like, I mean, terrible brain fog. And I get when I, it's some particular one that I get exposed to that like I go into a stupor. Like the second I touch it, like my, I get slack jawed. Like my jaw just drops open and I can't process what's happening around me and I can't seem to string thoughts together logically. So this has been really difficult to try to piece together what's going on. Yeah, so I'm hopeful that I'm close to the end. And I mean, I had like, yeah, I spent thousands on the mold remediator. I also had the whole floor ripped out and a new slab poured. I had two new toilets installed. Like I wasn't taking any chances, and yet still I ended up here with like mold in the house. Not sure, you know. And I, but I did have 5 good years here that were mold free. So I'm hopeful I can get back to that. And I have been pretty quick at addressing everything. Like I'm hopeful that the extent of it is as minimal as I could make it. like I didn't slack on, you know, calling people and trying to fix it when problems occurred. So, but yeah, now I'm just trying to figure out like, well, if it is my whole foundation or my whole basement or like how much is realistically remediation and then can I reoccupy it? Like, you know, because it has to be done fairly carefully. And I am tempted, I was tempted to do it myself the first time and I almost wish I had because I would have at least HEPA-vaced after I fogged. And so, yeah, it's challenging figuring out who could do the work and knowing that I'm extremely sensitive to it, but I understand the problem better, it like I would take less chances. So I don't know. So that's where I'm at.
You know, how did you, how, when you hire somebody, how do you determine whether they're good or not?
Well, this guy answered all the right questions. He used a botanical, which I was keen on. He had material safety data sheets. He explained that when he first started, like 20 years ago, he had a pinhole in his suit and got incredibly sick, was hospitalized, and had to have his lungs pumped. And so he assured me that he really understood the nature of the danger and the medical concerns, and that, you know, he was going to take every precaution. And so I trusted him based on that. And my later thinking is that, like a zombie mold, you know how those ones take over the ants? I think that was the moment when the mold overtook him. And so I figured out he's a mold remediator. He's taking 30 blowers everywhere and just spreading this stuff willy-nilly. Yeah. And that's the other thing that's challenging is I'm trying to rule out that like my dog is actively recontaminating everything. The green stuff on the side of the house is very aggressive, grows very quickly, and she brings it in on her paws. So I've just got little shoes for her, and I've gotten religious about like there's a bed for her, and then I take everything up when we get up in the morning. And I have like foaming stuff for her paw. Like yeah, she's very patient, but we're going to ridiculous lengths to try to make sure that she doesn't just pad in and get green goo everywhere. And like everywhere, it's very aggressive. Like everywhere it touches, it just starts to grow. The couch I have is like I've been sleeping on this little futon. It's only like a month old now, and it started to grow in the crevice of the seat, where she like jumped on it. I've been wiping it down, and I didn't get into the crevice enough. And when I opened it, it was just full of the green stuff. And yeah, and I coated it now. There's some stuff that I don't want to do, but I'm not sure how else to get out of the situation, which is I got like a bacteriostatic, fungostatic, something that's supposed to prevent the ability to colonize.
I
And
think that that's the stuff you mentioned to me that Nancy used. What was that?
Concrobium.
yeah, I got Concrobium, which is more heavy duty than I would like in terms of like for indoor, you know, application to something. And the other one I got was Bioesque, it's called. And it's supposed to be an electrostatic layer that prevents colonization. And so for the soft goods, I've used that on the couch. So yeah, so far so good with that, but these are all, I would much prefer to do more organic stuff. And so far the best thing I found actually is hypochlorous acid. I got one that's like a skin spray that seems to help with rash. And then I got like a big one for a sprayer that seems to be very effective for killing it.
Okay, now I want to get these names. That last thing you said was hypochlorous acid.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. And the other one that was electrostatic was back what?
Bioesque, BioEsque. It's like Bioesque Protect 90, I think it is, or something like that. But it's supposed to make like a coating on it.
Okay, good. What's the one that is coming? You said you bought, okay, you got the one from Shoemaker. And for
Yeah.
everybody that doesn't know Shoemaker, he has been the doctor that's specialized in mold for year, many years. He's still alive, is he? He must
Yeah,
be very old.
he was on Jordan Peterson recently. This is actually getting a lot of traction now because Jordan Peterson's daughter had, she was promoting the meat diet and thought that was the reason she got better, and then moved into a moldy house and got sick again, even though she was on the meat diet. And so now she's come to the conclusion that this whole time it was actually the reason the meat probably worked is she eliminated moldy stuff from the diet, moldy grains, all that stuff. And so Jordan Peterson had Shoemaker on just like a week ago, I think.
On YouTube.
Yeah, and it was actually really good. The one thing I learned, I may have made this scenario worse because after I had all the toilet replaced, I painted that bathroom with a fungicidal paint that says it's, you know, going to prevent growth and stuff. And I had not heard this before, but Shoemaker is saying now that it turns out it's not the drywall necessarily that's making the problem worse in the modern buildings. It's the antifungal paint that we coated in.
Wow.
Yeah, he says it changes the pH of the drywall and that encourages actinobacteria who like it to be base.
Was
And
that Lime
so,
Prime, Lisa?
what's that?
Did you use something called Lime Prime?
No, I just used
No.
like a Behr Ultra or something, but it had, you know, anti-mildew, antifungal. Yeah.
Lime Prime is something that they use down in at Katrina when they had all those moldy homes, and it's the lime that kills the mold. So I'm wondering if that would be safer.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, and I know they make mold killing primers, and I think the thing I put on is like a high gloss, you know, antifungal whatever. And that was the other thing he mentioned was that you don't want to use gloss paints because they make the wall impermeable and you actually want it to breathe so it can dry
Right.
out. Yeah. And I had not heard any of that before, so that was all new on the Peterson Schumacher most recent interview.
Interesting. Have you tried any products, laundry products that are designed to kill mold or get mold off of clothing? Have you ever tried any of those?
Yes, I tried pretty much all of them. This has been ongoing for like 3 months now. I've just been buying new clothes because I can't launder anything. And I've been surrounded by like bags of dirty laundry. I tried Remedy. I tried the Citrus Safe. I tried the Allerease. And I tried a super surfactant. Oh, and the EC3 laundry one.
Yeah, I was gonna ask if you tried that one.
Yeah, and I think what happened, this is where I think the antifungal and actinobacteria may be relevant. I kept trying to get more acidic, so I added citric acid, I added all this stuff to the laundry, and I was having no success. And I found someone that has like a three-step protocol that adds in a base to kill. Basically, I think I need both an acid and a base step. Like I need to do a two-phase laundry in order to eliminate both the actinobacteria and the mycotoxins. And that's the other thing is that I'm not just trying to kill mold. I'm sensitive to the mycotoxin, so I actually need it to launder out. And so I'm looking for things that neutralize or break down the mycotoxins into stuff that's less toxic. So I'm hopeful the three phase, I found someone that's got like a multi-step protocol that might work better, but currently I can't even go downstairs because the bathroom where the laundry is now funky. So, but yeah, I did try like almost all the, you know, the mold-free laundry stuff I could find.
Have you tried infrared light, the heat
No, I
lamp?
was looking at that recently. I talked to a friend who was a physicist and I asked him, like, I want a whole house solution. So I was asking, how would you heat your house to 140? And he suggested infrared. They make these giant like paint curing lamps. And he was suggesting that if I'm doing cleaners and stuff where I'm blasting it, I'm going to liberate all these spores as I go, whether it's a spray or an air thing. So he was suggesting if it was him, he would try infrared and heat the surface to 140 to try to fry them without actually having them lift off. And I
Yeah.
thought that was
You
really
know, when
clever.
you're trying to kill something, it's the ultraviolet light that kills stuff. It's not the infrared.
Well,
Infrared.
heat can kill stuff too,
Well,
though.
heat, but that's a
The
tremendous
infrared
amount.
system.
You know, do you have air ducts?
No, and I do have UVC purifier as well, and that didn't seem to help. But the infrared is just a means to heat it to 140, like an alternative to like a, you know, when they tent your house and heat it for termites or something. Supposedly that would work for mold too, as long as you got it to between 140 and 150. But in
I've used
theory.
a red light. I've used the red light on laundry that didn't dry quick enough. They always I hung it up and it got a funny smell in it. And I used the red, you know, I don't know if it was infrared or just that red heat lamp, and it got it really hot and the smell did go away. It did work.
But that's a smaller, you're talking a whole house here.
Oh, well, no,
I was
that's a
thinking
good
about,
idea for the laundry because I could just hang
yeah.
it in front of like a paint curing lamp and then, yeah.
Oh,
Might
okay.
work. Might be worth a try.
Can I interject at this point? I'm going to have to leave a little early for an appointment. I did call the company while we were talking, Eris, and their unit. The guy was talking excessively, but I tried to get off the phone. I called the in Virginia, the manufacturing area. Everything is aluminum. And this is the direction, me personally, this is what I would do is go the hydrogen peroxide part. You do have to go through a local HVAC contractor or Monica. And they had the units are made of no plastic, all aluminum, but there is titanium dioxide in the honeycomb area that produces it's a PCO, they call it photocatalytic oxidation.
We went into that, I think, in pretty much depth, the technology of it.
Yeah, and just to add, there's no petrochemicals,
Right.
any lubrication in these units. So they would be very safe for someone that would be sensitive to that.
Oh, that's good because I've been using ozone until I can have it properly remediated again, like just to keep the but the ozone's quite toxic, like you can't be in the house with it or anything. And I'm kind of lucky in that I have an old house where I don't have a lot of stuff putting off formaldehyde from the ozone. But I know that's a concern in like the more modern housing.
Yeah. No, the ozone, you would have to run it continually, and it does have its drawbacks, and it does release formaldehyde, and it pulls things out of surfaces, but then puts them in the air. So then that's going into your lungs unless you have an ionizer to bring them down low. I mean, there's just that's why I'm thinking of the hydrogen peroxide. And they make different products as well. Like Monica has, you know, the separate ones that can go in your car, they can go in different rooms. So they have other ones, personal ones, other than that big HVAC one, which is also ideal for the whole house. And if you have any problem areas like the laundry room, I imagine you can get one just for the laundry room. And some have UV lights and some don't. Like we.
Okay, and that's all the Aeris technology because I missed the Monica
Right. But you can go on my website and hear the whole thing and see the notes. And she has, you know, well, she really didn't know a whole lot about the technology when she was trying to explain it. But I did look it up later and I found scientific published articles on it and it explained it more fully. So I think that that does sound like the best technology for what you need. I question what the shoemaker one was is, what technology that is.
Yeah, I got three different ones. So I wanted to cover all my bases. Only two of them arrived so far. And of the two, I think only one of them is proven to be pretty effective. But they are three different filter technologies. Well, I think they're mostly relying on adding, they take the true HEPA and then add an electrostatic. that's supposed to neutralize stuff without doing hydroxyls. Because I do have like Winnick, I have been using Winnick air purifiers, and they have a plasma wave technology that does the, it's an ozone free one that does the ionizing. And he, Shoemaker, says not to use any of the ones that do that. And this one is just essentially, mine only filters down to particulate of 2.5, you know, it's a true HEPA, it filters down to some level, but not to submicron. But this one is supposed to filter down to submicron level. And I do think it's working. It was just amazing. Like the brain fog lifted and then stayed gone the whole day. And I just had this little thing running right next to me. And it doesn't have any sensors on it. And it's not like smart. So it just runs constantly. But then I got the one today that has the PM1 sensor, which is more sensitive than any of the others. My PM2.5 has been like near zero this whole time. But the PM1, when that one turned on, was really high. And so I think there's, it was like the mycotoxins are just too small to filter otherwise. And I'll let you know when I get the third one, if that one works any better. I just picked three, the cheapest three models I could get of the brands he recommended for it. Because I, my house is three floors, so I, and I don't have a central air, and the air exchange between them is not that great. So I kind of needed one for each floor.
Well, I think the plus with the Aeris technology was that it does not use ozone. What it is a UV, everybody says it has a UV light in it, but it, the UV light is shining on the titanium in order to make the hydrogen peroxide molecules. And when they come out, that's what does the killing on all surfaces. And the, and Monica claims, and I sort of believe her now, that it goes through your wall, it gets into your wall, it kills everything.
I would believe that. There was a company, so during the pandemic, I started a nonprofit called Get Us PPE, and you can probably all see why I'm so keen on PPE, and personal protective equipment, masks, gloves, suits, the whole thing. There's a company called Deakin that was doing hydrogen peroxide aerosolized shipping containers to detox, to decontaminate PPE for medical professionals during the pandemic. And they came up with a way to, yeah, essentially to aerosolize it so that it was non-damaging to the mask, but it was effective at decontaminating the whole thing. And so they would just put piles of them in the shipping container and then aerosolize the hydrogen peroxide into it. So yeah, I would believe it.
If it's going through walls, then it's going into our bodies too, through our skin.
That was my major concern too. I looked up in the medical literature and it didn't seem, there was nothing said about toxicity, but you know, that's the last thing they test for.
So it's going to go into your body more immediately, right through your lungs, right?
Right.
But it's a very low concentration, and people actually have been using hydrogen peroxide in inhaler things. What are those called? So people have been using hydrogen peroxide directly delivered to the lungs to kill like COVID, stuff like that. So people have been using it safely, but this is actually a much lower concentration than that. So I would be more worried about the lungs than the skin for this one.
I wanted to ask a question. Are any of these things that you're talking about, are you able to take them with you and help you out when you travel? Because I have had experiences of going into especially motel that are close to water, and I can't smell all of them, but I know when I walk into a room that has mold and mildew in it, and there's sometimes, I mean, we've just gone right to the manager and said can't sleep in that room, and then they try to put you into another room, and sometimes you can't get away from it. Also, I learned this a long time ago, over 50 years ago. And I'm going to warn all of you, if you ever, ever travel to New Orleans, New Orleans is so mold, and this is before these hurricanes, mold and mildew infest it, that you won't even smell it when you go into the house. It's just permeated. And the way we found out was we went to visit my aunt and uncle who were living in Metairie. And I was breastfeeding our firstborn child. And that was when pantsuits first came into fashion. So to breastfeed, of course, I had all button downs, and my aunt, being a very anti-mame fashionable person, insisted that I had to have a pantsuit. And the one she bought was straight down. So to breastfeed, I had to lift up. We got back to Spartanburg, South Carolina, where we were being held in prisoner by Hercules for a year. And she sent me a couple more of the pantsuits that she didn't want. And the minute I opened the box, it was in her clothes. So that's telling me that the week we stayed in their home, it was there, but we didn't smell it. It was only when it came out of that area, came back up to us through the mail. And as many times as I washed, and it was polyester, of course, that was the polyester boom 50 years ago. As many times as I washed it, I could not get the smell out of it. And the way it affects me is right away, I get sensitive in my throat. I can go to a sore throat. I can feel it up here in my sinuses, or sometimes it's just a headache. But that was my first real experience of knowing what mold and mildew does to me. I've also had the experience of having a friend who lives right here in Poughkeepsie Township where we are. She is above the Brandywine, but far above it. Her problem is she's widowed now. She keeps her house shut up tight. She never opens a window. And a couple of times I went into her house and I would come out and I'd feel that funny feeling. I thought, no, it can't be that. So one day she came to visit us. I could smell it the minute she walked through our front door. It was in her clothes, in her body, in her hair, wherever. So wherever we were going, I made sure I sat as far away from her as I could, because you're breathing it in regardless. It's on the person. So is there any little thing that you can carry with you when you travel, go into one of these motel rooms that you
see? Yes. Monica's website, I think, has all different sizes.
Great.
And some of them are.
Thank you. Because if you go to the worst is the person on the beach, and if you rent a house and you go into that house and you smell it, and we stayed in a house, I never smelled it for a whole week. I was uncomfortable the whole time. And I knew there was mold and mildew.
Well, be careful, Alta. They'll want you to come back if you decontaminate their house for them.
No, we're not going back to that beach anymore. But they have a fair warning. When you do rent a place, you know, to consider how close you are to water, because wherever you're close to water, you're going to be prone to walking into a rental or an Airbnb or whatever. And if there's something you can take with you to protect yourself, that's the moral of my story.
Yeah, the Volera has a mobile one that you can take for travel, like in hotels, for your car and all. And this is a personal one, but it's something you can wear. It just, I don't know how far it extends, though. It's more just for your own breathing, I think.
What is that, Tina? Is that an ionizer?
It doesn't affect everybody. It just affects some of us.
Yeah.
Some people, they don't know they're affected. And then, you know, I know Lisa has experience with that.
Yes, in the hotel, where was it, in Virginia once, and it smelled so musty. He says, yeah, that's the area. It's just very humid. And I didn't get sick from it, but I wasn't comfortable sleeping there.
Well, even people that have cabins in the woods and or in a wood by a lakeside, and they only use it in the summertime, so it is totally closed up in the winter. And then when I call it the cabin smell, and I'm sure you know exactly in your olfactory nerve what I'm talking about. You walk into that cabin and it's like wham, you smell it right away. But it's because the place has been airtight. There's just no circulation that allows those things to continue to build throughout the winter.
Okay. Yeah, so listen, Lisa, I want to, you know, I'm taking notes on everything you're saying, but I'm going to contact you later to get, you know, my mistakes corrected. Okay.
Okay. And yeah, you're totally right about the hotels. When all this first happened, I went to three different hotels trying to find a clean place to stay, and I had no luck. And the other thing is that my mom's house also has mold. She had black mold in the ceiling. And so the couches and stuff she gave me, like, I didn't know there was a leak there until I visited for Christmas. And, you know, like, she gave me pajamas for Christmas. And like, I got sick, like, when she, you know, the package was sitting next to me. It took me like an hour to figure out why I was having brain fog. And then I realized, like, oh, the thing from mom's house. And, you know, yeah, they were loaded with stuff. And then my boyfriend, Richard, he was going to move in here with me. His house is moldy. Before he moved into it, they had vented the bathroom fan into the attic instead of through the roof. And so before he moved in, the whole thing was coated in black mold up in the attic. And this all started when I went to his house to help him get ready to sell it. And I got so sick. And then I came back here to discover that the month I had been gone, it was leaking. So yeah, it's been a journey. But and that's been really hard because it means I'm not sure where to go if this gets worse at my house. And I don't know how to find a place that's not moldy. And I'm just getting more sensitive as this goes on. So yeah.
Okay, well.
I know
all
a man.
All roads lead back to mold, right?
Yeah, it seems that I know a man in up in Delaware for a while. He was homeless, and I asked him. I said, "Well, have they some of the services found your place?" He says, "Yeah, but they're all moldy."
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Yeah, and then the other challenging thing is if Richard's moving in here, he's been really supportive through all this, and I'm lucky to have him, but he's slowly coming to the realization he can't bring anything. He's not gonna, for us to move in together, he can't bring stuff out of that house and bring it into a new one with me. There's no way to clean most of it well enough. So yeah.
I wonder if the stuff, because this technology penetrates surfaces. I wonder if you put one of these machines, the air scrubbers from Aeris, into a room with the furniture, if it could decontaminate that too, you know.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Wow. I really, you know, now I am so sold on, you know, this technology between Liz's experience and, you know, what I looked up. And
so what about detoxing the body from mold?
Go back to the mold talk.
Okay.
Because we went through all that. And this shoemaker that Lisa's talking about, he was probably one of the first doctors to address, you know, detoxing from mold, right, Lisa?
Yeah, and he has a whole protocol. I've adopted some stuff that's not in there. Some of the more recent stuff that I thought was helpful is I've been taking nascent iodine and colloidal silver. And I also have charcoal and zeolite and chlorella and spirulina. And those are so far the most effective things I found for a detox.
How do you spell nascent iodine?
Nascent, NASCENT.
Okay. Iodine and what, colloidal silver, and then what else did you say?
Charcoal and zeolite. I got one that's like a mix.
Zeolite and what is it? Purple.
And the last one is chlorella and spirulina.
So which was the best? The ingredients. That's a lot of ingredients.
The iodine had the biggest effect on mental clarity, I would say. Once I added that, I take it in the morning and it really helps me to kind of get going. And then I only recently added the colloidal silver, but that also seemed to help a lot.
Okay. I want to give you a warning about the zeolite because it has aluminum in it. And they give zeolite to cattle before they give birth, and it somehow helps them with calcium, whatever. Anyway, the study showed that when they gave them zeolite, the aluminum in the blood increased. So
the charcoal too, I don't take them every day. So I think that's why the other ones I might find more effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I take sometimes the chlorella and what's that green again? Cilantro. No, cilantro.
Oh, cilantro.
And then I do the sauna, but I'm not noticing anything from it. I don't notice any difference. And I don't
know
why.
Cilantro is pretty specific for heavy metals, but it has to be taken with either, I guess, chlorella, or it has to be taken with either chlorella or N-acetylcysteine in order to carry that heavy metal. Cilantro mobilizes, pulls it out of the tissue, and then you need something else to carry it out of the body. You can't just take cilantro.
I thought the sauna did that.
Well, yeah, the sauna, but to what the N-acetylcysteine or the chlorella does is it binds to the heavy metals so that it can carry it out, like it becomes water soluble, so it can carry it out in the sweat.
Okay.
So it's like a process. I think that was in our detox talk.
I put in the chat a link to an article I just wrote for my Substack. The article was actually, I just wrote it as a comment to someone else's comment. And then I posted it in my Substack because it's about, her problem was candida, but it's about mold and candida. And I just put all the things that were successful for me into my article. And I'm also going to add in the comments to my article all the things that other people have told me are successful for them. And one thing that someone put up was methylene blue for mold and candida and, you know, internal mold. And the other thing someone else put up was chlorine dioxide. And she sent me a link to a guy, Clacker, who has protocols to use how to make your own chlorine dioxide and how to use it for everything, viruses, mold, bacteria, parasites. You know, he has a different protocol for everything. So I will put those links in the comments to my Substack article. And I put the link to my article there in the chat. But one of the things that have helped me the most are taking oregano oil capsules whenever I eat something like fruit that's going to result in candida, and also black seed oil. I just take that maybe once a day or something, but that was part of a protocol I read that someone else had up. So those things, along with the air scrubber, has been the best thing. But the internal things, the oregano oil and the black seed oil, I think have been the most helpful, along with, you know, the diet, which I'm not very strict about anything and not diet any more than anything else. But you know, sometimes you're going to eat fruit or sugar or something that you know is going to aggravate the mold or encourage the mold growing in your body. And just having those oregano oil capsules every time has been like really helpful to me. So there's a couple other things I put in my article, but I think those two are the most helpful things.
Okay, I just added the oregano oil yesterday and I ordered black seed oil but have not tried it yet. So that's positive.
All right.
Black seed or sesame seed or?
No, it's black as in the color black.
Yeah.
And I think it's black cumin seed.
Yeah, my mom sent mine to me and her chiropractor recommended it. But I hadn't heard anybody give a positive review for it yet. So, yeah.
It's also good for COVID.
The black seed oil is also recommended. You know, it's one of the things you can use against COVID by the frontline, the FLCCC, the frontline doctors who figured out protocols to fix COVID. They recommend black seed oil. So lots of people are using it now.
Yeah, I was just reading about it.
Yeah. I had a comment on the zeolite and the aluminum. Dr. Klinghart was talking about that fairly recently. And he said that if you liquefy zeolite, that's when the aluminum comes out. And all these doctors that think they're detoxing their patients from aluminum are actually giving them aluminum poisoning. And then they're, you know, they're doing the detox in the urine, they'll find aluminum. They say, aha, see? But they're giving them the aluminum in the zeolite that they're administering. He says the only safe zeolite he likes is one that you have to buy from England, which goes to from Cuba to Germany to the UK. And that store that he sells all his products from, I can't think of the name of right now. But
so many different things you can use for the same purpose. Why would you use zeolite? That was a big thing in this area. There was a doctor handing it out like crazy. And when I first moved here, everybody was talking about zeolite and they were giving me papers on it, but they were all marketing, not science.
Right.
Yeah, I have a question too, because what you said is really interesting about them testing for excreting aluminum, but zeolite is a mineral. If it's mostly aluminum, then it sounds to me like anytime you take it internally, it's going to be dissolved and exposed to liquid. So how could there be a safe form? Question.
I don't know the answer to that.
Now, does anyone else have anything to add about mold? I think seems we like, covered it.
It seems like we're all dealing with it. I'm dealing with it myself.
Yeah, I'm not. My slogan when I'm buying a house is buy high. So that everything, including the lawn chemicals, goes downstream, you know. But Lisa's house, I've seen it. It's high.
Yeah, that's why I thought I didn't have any issues unless it's plumbing related, and it's all been plumbing related.
Yeah. The other thing I also would suggest, if you're in for furniture buying, is buy either leather or as close to leather as you can, because material is definitely going to hold the smell.
Yeah, so that's what I thought, and I'm surprised. I only have one piece of furniture, which is this futon, and it's like a fake leather, and it's very thin. It's not got much padding, so I thought this would be probably the easiest to wipe down, but it actually grew on the surface, like almost immediately, and that surprised me. And I also had a vinyl chair that I threw away. Oh,
yeah. Not vinyl, because look at the vinyl houses, and they get that green mold in the summertime all over them. No, we have real leather in our family room, except for my recliner I'm sitting with, and it's leather on top, but on the sides, it's artificial, but it hasn't bothered me. It really hasn't. The other rooms do have some cloth items in them, but we've been in here 48 years, so we've never been bothered, other than that girlfriend of mine that came in and smelled like it, so...
So I recently just got a butterfly chair. It was like a canvas cover, but I am struggling a lot with like the, you know, stuff accumulating on the laundry, and then I can't wear it and I can't get rid of it. Like I can't get it out of the laundry. And so cotton and polyester, I read, were supposed to be the most washes out. Wool. I bought a pair of leather gloves thinking that would help, and they have just a tiny cuff that's wool, and like almost immediately it was like it got charged. Like I put it on and like it just sucked stuff to it, and within, you know, a half an hour I had to take them off, and I had this red ring where the wool was. And then I was surprised that silk is not that good. And I had thought that would be better, like a silk or a satin, because it doesn't hold stuff and you can wipe it easily, but the silk apparently also will hold a lot of mycotoxins after laundering. So yeah, I don't know if anyone else has tips on particular fabrics, or because I'm basically having to rebuy. I expect I'm going to have to start from scratch again. And so I would like to steer towards stuff that would be optimal. So, you know, if anyone has other recommendations.
Thin material.
Yeah, for clothing and furniture and all that. Yeah.
But really, you know, it keeps coming back to buying one of these air scrubbers and just running it with all your stuff in that room, because it's supposed to penetrate. And I'm just thinking that this is the answer for the environmental stuff anyway.
Well, do you know, so there's lots of stuff that penetrates to kill mold, but very few things that remove the mycotoxins. So like the mold dies, it releases all these mycotoxins, and then they're loaded, you know, like I need something to neutralize or break.
Now, I know what you mean, but I have Monica, I mean, you can listen to her talk on the Healthy Homes Zoom. And then with between Liz's experience and Monica, who, you know, her story is also like she was sick her whole life until she got one of these machines. So I don't know. That's just the impression I'm getting from between Liz's experience with it and Monica's. Mm-hmm.
We're never going to eradicate mold. People have been living with it for centuries and centuries. And we do have to fortify our immune system so that we can coexist.
I know. You know, I've been thinking of that, Nancy. And why all of a sudden is like mold terrible?
Because we're so toxic. And when I did that two feathers for my skin cancer, I don't need as many supplements. I can tell that such a burden has been taken off my body. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing.
What was that two feathers again?
It's a two feathers called two feathers formula. And it's Native American herbs.
And the other thing, the Schumacher one on Peterson, this is the first time I heard him talk about it, but his reasoning was pretty sound to me in the same way that you, if you, you know, distribute antibiotics widely, you end up with antibiotic resistance. His argument is that since the 1970s, we've been putting everything up with drywall and then coating it in antifungals. And so what's left in the buildings is like the most toxic, aggressive species.
Okay. That makes sense.
That makes sense. Very interesting.
Okay, so I'll put this under under the mold talk. I have something brief. It has nothing to do with mold. It has to do with skin breakdown. Alta made me think about this when I was talking to her. So I just wanted to tell you about an experience we had years ago, and my mother was in a memory care unit, and because she was in the system, I felt I had to take her to mainstream medicine and depend on that, which that was the one and only time in my life I depended on mainstream medicine. So we would visit the Christiana Wound Care Center, and we'd go like every couple of weeks. I think it never went more than every 3 weeks, you know, we were there. It was a social event. So for over a year, her skin kept breaking down, and they kept prescribing creams, and they even did a skin transplant on her ankle, and she contracted an infection in the hospital when they did that. And so she spent 4 weeks on IV antibiotics, which she had to spend time in another assisted living facility that wasn't friendly to Alzheimer's patients. So during this whole time, she was over-medicated, so she was quiet. And these sedatives caused brain damage from which she never recovered. When she finally returned to the memory care unit, the nurses and aides were shocked at her rapid decline. She could no longer feed herself or, you know, really do anything. So over the next few months, the skin graft did not hold, and the doctors wanted to do another skin graft. So before this, I was simply complying with the doctors, whatever you said. And this time I raised my hand and I asked the doctor, will you please prescribe two things, 2 ounces of aloe juice per day and 400 units of vitamin E per day. And because she was in the system in Delaware, these simple supplements had to be prescribed by a doctor and delivered directly from a pharmacy. Once you're in the system, you're just give up. The doctor agreed though, and he was surprised a week later when all of her minor wounds were completely healed. And for the first time, her ankle wound was closing. So what did he say? He said, good, now we can operate. I was shocked and asked why he would do this when it was obviously healing. So he prescribed a wound healing sponge with a growth factor, which was used on the ankle wound every day, and this permanently healed the wound. So she finished her gallon of aloe juice as prescribed and stayed on the 400 units of vitamin E until her doctor changed years later. They changed doctors, I didn't know. And I didn't realize he had taken her off the vitamin E until her skin started breaking down again. And she was taken back to the wound care center. And again, they were using these useless prescription creams. So I asked them to repeat the aloe juice and vitamin E protocol. And it worked so well that they began using this on other residents.
Wow.
So I found a couple, I found there's many scientific studies on this specific sponge with the growth factor in it. And I'm listing 2 of the studies in the notes. So.
She was in a nursing home?
Yeah, you know, memory care unit. That's what they call Alzheimer's units. Yeah, I don't know what to call these things, you know, assisted living or old folks' homes or whatever.
Yeah.
So how much of the vitamin E?
400 units, which is a standard dose. And
the mixed one?
Well, now we know to do mixed to coveralls, but right. Back then, honestly, vitamin E worked even in the old days when we didn't know that. And actually, when I turned 40, which was 32 years ago, my doctor told me to when you're 40, start taking vitamin E every day, and it helped me noticeably in different ways. So vitamin E is good.
Now, what is that there? Go ahead. Yes.
Is there a specific way that you need to take it? Like, you know, some of it's liposomal or sublingual or anything?
Vitamin E, as long as it's fat soluble. So as long as you take a fat soluble vitamin with fat, like a fatty meal, it's absorbed.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And what is this sponge with growth factor?
Yeah, I try to look at, I remember, and my memory's not perfect, but I remember them calling it Promigran. But I can't find it on the internet anymore. So what I did was I just looked at sponge wound healing in Google Scholar. I always use Google Scholar. And then it came up with all these studies.
I'm glad to hear this is a relevant time, because I have a friend who just had foot surgery, mm-hmm. and it got infected. Mm-hmm. And the doctor left it, and blood coagulated, and then there was scar tissue, and they want to operate again, but she can't walk. Her foot is elevated because the blood is pooling in her foot now. So
it's going to need more than this little sponge. This was just to heal like an open wound.
The infection in the wound, yeah.
It wasn't even, I don't think it's even an anti-infective. For the infection that she got from the hospital, of course, they put her on the IV antibiotics.
Right.
So I guess that solved that problem, but then the wound would never, it just broke down again. That would take a whole nother round of research to
figure
out her stuff is more complicated.
Something else going on.
But, so you're saying that the sponge plus the aloe and vitamin E heal?
Well, if you like, just with the aloe and the vitamin E, she had breakdown all over her body, really, and everything healed. Aloe juice is what my husband takes to heal the gut. Aloe juice heals. That's what it does. And so especially like, you know, the gut lining and the skin are from the same prenatal source, you know, like when you're a fetus, that same cell lining creates the inside of your gut and your skin. So it's sort of the same type of tissue, and aloe juice seems to be good at healing both the gut and the skin.
Yeah. You think it would help with little polyps in the stomach?
You know what? You mentioned this. When I started taking vitamin E, the next I don't know if it was the next, but my gynecology appointment, the gynecologist said, your polyps disappeared. I evidently had some polyps up there. And they disappeared. And the only thing I did different was take vitamin E at the time. It was in my 40s.
Okay.
There's always a solution to every problem.
Yeah, the two feathers formula I was taking, that's supposed to cleanse everything and take care of polyps and things that are not growing properly. But one really pleasant surprise I was not expecting was on my shin, I always had this dark patch that was about an inch and a half long and an inch wide. And went to dermatologist, and the skin was very thin. And I started putting the skin salve on it, the black skin salve. And it was making it soft. And then I would just very gently rub the skin off, but it would it was bleeding, and it was there for, I'd say, almost 20 years, probably about 20 years, maybe longer. But after I went through all of this with taking the two feathers for 3 months, all of a sudden one day I looked down and that whole dark pigmentation, and it was like a dry and scaly. It was not normal skin. All of a sudden it's off. It's not there anymore.
After how many months? 3 months?
About 3 months. I took it.
Is that the website twofeathers.com?
Go on Facebook.
Okay.
He's got a Facebook account. I think he's probably trying to stay away from the government.
Well, Facebook is just full of the government.
Yeah, I don't know if they can keep up with it as well. I ought to ask him why he...
Yeah, Facebook is notorious for being infiltrated by the FBI and CIA. They got rid of all the vaccine injured people, and they've censored heavily on Facebook. I stay away from it.
Yeah,
when I look on Facebook, there's a just two feathers, and then there's a two feathers spiritual healing and consulting.
His name is Robert Roy.
What?
His name is Robert Roy.
Okay.
I haven't been on his Facebook too often. Okay. Yeah, I just did it, Robert Roy.
Okay.
Here's what
I did. Oh, okay. So you just put Robert Roy in.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have a question, because I know so many people, they go for knee surgeries, you know, because of the, what is that called?
It breaks down.
What?
Osteoarthritis?
Yeah. And my sister's going to go for her second one. And the first one was really difficult for her. So I'm trying to see, like, has anybody heard of anything that really helps to reverse it?
Well, yeah. Sure. We did a whole... Zoom on that.
That's my memory problem.
Go on the website. That one's already on there. And I love the page. I found a really good image for the top of the page. It'll make you laugh. But did she have joint replacement?
Yeah, they took out the whole knee. They replaced.
Oh. So yeah. Once you take out something, you can't really put it back.
No, but she's got the other one. That was one knee.
Oh, the other one. Yeah.
Okay, the other one. She says it's not totally gone. Okay. Is that Swanson?
Yeah. This one is Swanson, but you could get it like Costco, Walmart, anywhere. Like, you know, the grocery store.
And you know somebody that's reversed it?
I reversed my knee problem that I had in my 40s.
So. My friend who I ride horses with was like, I kept telling her, just get the knee replacement, Laura, because this is boring. I don't have anyone else to ride with. And one of her in-laws was taking this collagen for his bone-on-bone knee problem, and he, like, fixed it. So then Laura decided to try the collagen. And then we were, like, trotting, and, you know, it's bouncy. And I'm like, isn't that hurting your knee? And she's like, oh, it seems to be okay. And then a few weeks, you know, a couple months later, we're trotting down the hill, which is even worse. Like, how's your knee? It's okay. And then we're, like, trotting down the hill and galloping up the hill, and she doesn't seem to be interested in a knee replacement anymore. And I've been taking it for my busted elbow that apparently had tendonitis and some arthritis both happening. And my body therapist, who's also a PT, said, this looks like tendonitis and some osteoarthritis, and do these exercises. And I took the collagen, and you know, this elbow was so bad, I couldn't, like, hardly open my car door with my left arm. And now it's, like, almost never any problem at all. So.
And that's simple and cheap. Do you put that, I say it's a powder, do you put that, like, in your tea or coffee?
Yeah, I take it in the evening because it has a lot of glycine, which is supposed to help you sleep. Mm. So I usually just take it in some kind of hot turmeric drink. But my friends put it in their coffee because people who have sensitive taste buds apparently can taste it, but you can't taste it in your coffee. And that's a good way to just remember to take it. But you could also put it in your soup or whatever.
Yeah, I put it in my coffee every morning just
Yeah, because then you remember to do it, right?
It's supposed to be good for wrinkles, too. So. Well,
haven't had any success there.
I will add into this that I have two hip as well as two knee replacements with the knees. And it was because I was bone on bone. It wasn't arthritis. I no longer can kneel. The pain is so uncomfortable. I couldn't do anything that I have to be on my knees. So I'm very grateful I'm not a Catholic. So I don't have to do a lot of kneeling, but it also stopped me from being able to use the bathtub we had, because the way I would get out of the tub was to get on all fours and then be able to come up. But it hurt so badly, we had to invest in a walk-in tub. So I can bend my knees, that's no problem, but getting down on the floor, on knees, anything. And so I try not to get on the floor because I can't get up. It hurts so badly. I have to roll to get to something and pull myself up with my arm. So if you're considering knee surgery, know what's ahead for you, because you're where they've put those pieces of replacement in. On top of that is only a thin layer of skin. There's no longer any cushion there to protect you when you kneel. So be aware of that if you're considering it.
Do you regret getting the surgery?
No, I don't, because the pain and what had happened was my, the cartilage between, there was no, I was totally bone on bone, and I had them done 4 months apart. And I did go to two different doctors to get different ideas, but this was several years after the hip, and I am not medical, but like a lot of other people, you just kind of put two and two together. Evidently, I was born with half a socket in my right hip. And that was the one that deteriorated, that made me retire sooner than I would have, because I was a librarian walking, standing, shelving, up and down. And the pain in that became so severe, I had to have the right hip done. But as our bodies try to compensate when we have a weakness, once that is fixed, the other side that has been taking over, then it begins to go on you. So it was just like around the clock for Alta, one thing after another. So in a period of 10 years, I got two hips and two knees. So, but I'm never having these shoulders done. I'm not going there. I'll deal with anything to keep, because I have never talked to anyone who has had shoulder surgery that has not gone through a living HELL. So not doing it. And some, after they can't even get their arms up, and I can go all the way up like this. So not having these babies touched.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good lesson in balance. And I wonder, yeah, like my brother has shoulder issues and he hasn't had the surgery, but we may have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, or like somebody thought he had it, and then we both did all of the test things. And I think I have the genetic markers.
Oh, and you have Ehlers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I have the indicator. I've had joint problems, but I've never had the kind of the ones he has. But yeah, I'm wondering if the collagen supplements would help all this, because like I have Lyme arthritis in the knees and they swell up like baseballs. But if the collagen,
you still have that? I thought you got rid of your Lyme.
That's the only thing left was the arthritis. Yeah. Like the nerves regrew. I'm kind of a miracle story. Like they had diagnosed me with MS and I was having trouble swallowing and stuff. And I made a full recovery, regrew the nerves. Except for the, and it's not all the time, but I think it relapses sometimes. And then my knees swell up real big. And I get the arthritic problems.
So that's another, we should revisit the bones and joints, because there's so much you can do.
So I don't know what's going on, whether more people having bone problems than they used to, or are they just doing the surgery more? I don't know.
I think a little of both, because when you go into the hospital or the doctor's office, they always have to suck you into something or they're not making money. And they're not telling you how to. Well, I remember in our Zoom, the only injections they put in the joints mainstream is cortisol, which then once you have that cortisone shot, it deteriorates the whole joint. So you have that, and then you are guaranteed to have joint replacement. And then the other alternative is the hyaluronidase injections, and they don't do anything. So they had studies that compared the hyaluronidase to remember the stem cells and the proline. It was like a glucose solution that stimulated regrowth. So those two injections are effective, but they don't use them unless you.
Is that plasma rich something?
PRP, plasma rich. No, protein rich plasma. They take your blood. I took my friend for a couple of these shots, and they take your blood, spin it down, and take the good stuff out and inject it into your joint, and that helps it rebuild. Oh, your husband had that, didn't
he? He did, yeah.
Yeah,
he did,
and it worked.
He did, no knee surgery.
I may be way off base on this one, but this is my own personal opinion. No studies to back it. This is just what I think. But I happen to believe that we are pushing children too young into these competitive sports, and their bones are not mature enough to be in these contact sports, overrunning, overdoing, gymnastics, all of it. I watch these beautiful gymnasts, and I'm thinking, baby, you're 18 years old. I want to see you when you're 81, like I'm going on, because I was in sports, but I was not totally into sports. Like, the whole weekend is going to ball games and soccer games and football games. I only played hockey when I was younger, and that was running. It was really just running and using your arms. It wasn't these heavy duty sports that the moms and dads today think that their kids have to be involved in. And I think it's a big mistake, and they are headed for the orthopedic doctor when they hit their 40s.
If not worse, if they have like head injuries,
yes,
sports, then you end up with Alzheimer's.
And they don't even know if they're getting concussions, and children do get concussions.
Yeah. Over
the telephone.
Well, you know, I'm on your page, Alta. I am so sick.
Let's put the kids back in church on Sunday. Get them off the fields.
Yeah.
If you want some evidence to back up what you're saying, look what happens to 2-year-old racehorses. They're not mature until they're 5 or 6, but they're racing for that too.
It is so cruel. This is not what horses were meant to do. Yeah. But it's all about the money, isn't it, girls?
Yep.
And I wonder if what do you all think about like carbonated beverages, they say pulls minerals out.
Oh, that is so true. I thought when my son got married, I started drinking seltzer, you know, with only, you know, no junk in it, just seltzer, a little flavoring. And I noticed that I was getting severe cramps at night. They were waking me up. And so I figured, oh, it's the carbonation, you know, the acid pulling the minerals out. So I started adding magnesium. I'd break open magnesium and the cramps stopped, but I started getting GERD for the first time in my life because the magnesium was neutralizing the acid in my stomach. And so it wasn't digesting. So I just gave up on seltzer and just drink water.
Yeah, Dr. Seeger told me it leaches calcium out of your bones too, because your body uses the calcium to buffer the acid from the seltzer.
Yeah. I wonder if that works on the, what's that cushion called? I can't think of the name of it.
Whoopee.
The cushion. A cartilage. Yeah. Does it do the same thing to the cartilage as well as the bones?
Probably. Oh. Probably does.
Yeah. I think the bone is specifically, one of the purpose of the bone is to neutralize the blood like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So that's how your parathyroid works. When it senses there's not enough calcium in your bone, it pulls it out of the, or calcium in your blood, it pulls it out of the bone.
Mm. So let me see, what is cartilage made out of?
Collagen, right?
Collagen? Just collagen. Well, who knows?
And that's why when I was healing my leg, I looked up how does bone heal? And step one was inflammation. Step two was a collagen scaffolding. And that's when I took the collagen supplements. And then step three was it deposited the calcium and the other minerals to make the bone. So that's when I took my osteoapatite, my bone supplement, which is bioidentical, you know, calcium and bone minerals.
Is collagen a protein?
Yeah. And so my broken bone healed in 4 weeks. Everybody said, oh, you're old. It's not going to heal for a long time. Well, age has nothing to do with it. It's all, you know, you have to figure out how your body works and how you're going to fix it. And it never has to do with drugs.
You know, this makes a ton of sense to me. Like, I've always thought that carbonated stuff ruins your teeth. And I don't drink any, it burns to me. Like, it burns my tongue. And so my whole life, I've never drank soda or carbonated beverages or anything. And I was like the only one of my friends that did not have, you know, rampant cavities and stuff as a kid. I've only ever had 2 cavities, not probably.
My goodness.
I've always heard that if you really want to clean your toilet real well, pour a can of Coca-Cola in it.
That's right.
Sounds good. Except it might take off the enamel and paint too.
I mean, every week, just make sure you get rid of all those other rings around the waterline.
Yeah.
Before everybody leaves, I want to put in a plug for the signal group, the one I set up. So far, it's just me and Connie and Liz. Is anyone else interested in getting involved?
Yeah, I totally forgot.
Tell us about it.
Okay, it's an app. You have to have a cell phone.
That lets me out.
Yeah, I use my husband's phone. If you use house phone to get the app, and then you can say, okay, send it to my computer. So then you don't have to use his phone.
Yeah, anymore. I don't have a cell phone either. I use my husband's.
So I go into the Play Store and I just put Signal.
Yeah.
Well, Signal Messenger app.
I sent the link, and the link I sent, it would take you to where you can download it and join the group.
Okay, you sent it in email?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It was an email, but I think it's on the website.
Is it?
Everybody should go to the website.
Okay. I have the Signal app.
And then go under our group. I forgot to put it on. I'll put it on though. The Signal.
And which website is it?
healthy-aging.website. Okay. And okay. Then if you want to go straight to our group, my early website was all about vitamin D. But if you want to go straight to our group and all of the past 7 Zooms, go /our group, r-group.